Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to give you the Word of God. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us come together today and pray. Heavenly Father, dear God, we thank you once again that you have blessed us on this blessed day to assemble again in your name. Father, we are so grateful for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And dear Lord, we ask today, Lord God, that you would just watch over us, Lord God, and strengthen us and keep us as you have done. And therefore, Lord, we invite your spirit to be with us on this study today, that, Lord God, that glory and honor may be brought unto you. Father, I pray that more of your plan will be revealed unto those that are listening, that they will seek your face like they never had before. So, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And I give you the praise and glory and honor, and I magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Let us go back to the book of Malachi chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 5 again. In Malachi chapter 3, we are still dealing with the third witness today. The third witness that this angelic being, the resurrected John the Baptist, is also the messenger to prepare the way. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the first four parts and two series that I did before that. You can go back as far as three or four series, other series that, because all this ties in to what the Lord has commissioned me to tell about in these last days. Amen. His work that he's doing through the sending of his angelic being, the purpose, the reason, and why. Amen. Glory be to God. So thank God for the word of the Lord. So we're going to go in Malachi chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 5 to you again. This is our third witness to the resurrected John the Baptist is also the messenger to prepare the way. And the word of God said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeared? For he's like a refiner's fire and like the full of soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you into judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerer and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, say the Lord of hosts. Now, we have been looking at this third witness who is Malachi, and we come to understand that this word right here that God had given him to give unto the people is referring to this day and time we're living in now, the end time of this messenger who we come to understand to be the resurrected John the Baptist, the angelic beings being sent by Jesus and not by man from heaven to bring words of instructions to God's people this day. Amen. And we have been discussing, as Malachi has been taking us a little bit deeper on how he is to deal with man. Now, remember in the other series when we talk about him being known as the Elijah to restore all things, we come to understand in that all things package involves people, okay? Because Malachi told us in chapter 4 that he's to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And we come to understand that one of those things has to deal with is dealing with man, is dealing with the church, is dealing with family. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at tonight, as I've been talking to you about, you know, we see Malachi tells us something that God gives him a little bit deeper about the process, how he actually is explaining to us how man is going to end up being restored, okay? And he and once again, just turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the father, in one symbolic meaning, it is dealing with God's people, the born-again believers, the church, okay? Amen. And what Malachi does in chapter 3, he tells us that when John come as the messenger, it's a role he has to do, and it involves a process of what he referred to as refining and purifying that the God has required for his people to come to go through in order for them to be prepared for Christ's return, okay? Because we understand that this word is giving, have been given to deal with the times that we're living in today. And this is why the angelic being has been sent by the Lord to bring words of instruction to mankind. Now, this word that he's bringing is going to do something with people. And this is why we look in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, when the word of God says he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Okay, that is his position, and he's going to sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Now, in part 4, I went through it a little bit about what happens when silver and gold and all of that is purified and refined. Okay, so he's going to take a position as a refiner and purifier of silver, which means that the people has to go through a process. Amen. A process to get to the place where God will have them to be before Christ return. Therefore, we must understand that once again, that takes care of the pre-tribulation teaching. Now, once again, I'm not here trying to throw darts at my brothers and sisters that teach that, but I have to say that the timing is off. Okay. You know, before Christ return for to be admired in his saints. Before that time, his people must go through a process where Malachi breaks it down to us somewhat and tells us in a little bit more detail that this process is referred to as a refining and purifying. Amen. So we look in verse 3, glory to God, and we're told here in verse 3 that he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Now let's stop there for a minute, because here, you know, some people will look at this as being literal, okay? And they would say, well, what did he got to do with some, what's some silver got to do with, you know, God coming back? No. We know that much of the words in God's word, especially in the Bible, also not just have a literal meaning, but it has a figurative or a symbolic meaning, okay? A figurative and a symbolic meaning. Now, having said that, let's take a look at dealing with what does it mean that he is to sit as a refiner and purifier of silver? What is this silver alluding to? What is this talking about? Well, let's take a journey here. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 12. The book of Psalms, chapter 12. And once again, your fingers will be doing some walking here. But, you know, the exercise shouldn't hurt it at all as we talk about this thing and break this thing down. The book of Psalms, chapter 12, we're going to go to verse 6 to understand what is this silver that Malachi is talking about in verse 3 in Malachi chapter 3, that the messenger is to take a position as a refiner and purifier of silver. Is he talking about literal silver? If he is, then what does literal or natural thing has to do with what's supposed to be spiritual. Now, in Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, the word of the Lord says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Okay? They're pure words. Ain't nothing faulty or mixed in it. See, that's why the pureness of the gospel has to go forth today, because much of the gospel has been watered down, mixed with traditions and doctrines of men. And so God is going to, see, it's the pure gospel that's going to go forth and bring forth the people of God. Amen? It's not going to be all this mixture stuff, okay, that man has put into. My God, we didn't water down the gospel so much it's pitiful. Have you ever tried to eat something that's watered down? Amen? Don't taste good, dude. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, he said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Okay? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Now keep that in mind. Let's go to Psalms chapter 66. Psalms chapter 66. Looking at verse 10. Hallelujah. Just like the word of the Lord said, seven times, seven means completion. Okay? Seven means completion. Now look at Psalm 66 and verse 10. And it says, for thou, O God, have tried us. Okay? Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. So the people is compared to what? Silver being tried. Okay? So when he's talking about, and Malachi talking about, he should sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. The silver is dealing with what? God's people. Going through a refining and purification like literal silver goes through. And as we read, the word of the Lord is tried. It's pure words is tried to what? Seven times. That means completion. Okay? Hallelujah. So God, in this refining and purification process, God is looking at doing it to what? Completion. Not no half. See, that's one thing about God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get more specific here. That's one thing about Jesus. When Jesus does things in our lives, he looks to complete it. Jesus is not by being a half-stepper like man could be. Okay? So remember when the Bible said the steps of a good man is ordered by God? Well, see, God, when he orders your steps, he plans to complete. Not no half stuff. Do halfway and stop and drop you. That's not God's style. That's not the way he works. That's not his character. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. So the silver here is dealing with what? God's people. That's what the silver is representing. It's representing God's people. Hallelujah. Going through a process, the same as silver is tried. Okay? Amen. All of us shout the glory. And I read to you out of one of the research I did on silver. Amen. How silver is refined and purified. And in the research I read that it involves bubbling chlorine gas through the molten ore metal. Silver reacts with the chlorine to form silver chloride as a slag on top. Okay? That's the process. So God's saying that he's taking his people through the same type of process. So the slag can come on top of our lives, okay, come out. So what, it can be wiped away. No, slag ain't up there, so you can just, you know, keep it with the silver, okay? Glory, hallelujah. And see, the messenger is bringing the word, which is like the chlorine, okay? Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And see, the silver, I read to you, the silver reacts with the chlorine. So we come interact with the word like we supposed to. That word does a work to us that brings the slag, the impurity, whatever, the impurities up to the top so it can be removed. Amen. See, we've been preaching we can be gone any day now, like in any condition that we in now. No. Listen, I told you, and we have told you many times before, Jesus is coming back for what he set up. He ain't coming back for what we set up. And see, man right now has been very bold to say, huh, Jesus, take it or leave it. And then we're talking about any day we can be gone now. We all separated, divided, broken up in fragments, cracked, you name it. And we saying, Jesus, take it or leave it. And Jesus is telling us, hey, I didn't make it that way, so I'm not coming back to get it that way. Amen. It's just like if you loan somebody your car clean with gas all in it, and then they give it back to you dirty, messed up, no gas, almost on empty, didn't keep the oil and water checking all that. Well, I imagine many of you will be furious, will be upset. You'll be like, hey, man, you know, could at least clean up the car, you know, put some gas in it. Okay? Or you gave them the car looking good, and they bring it back to you, fender broke, bumper falling out, glass window blown out, and they tell you, huh, here, take it or leave it. Well, how would you feel? You didn't give it to them like that. Well, see, Jesus let them know that, hey, I didn't set up my church like that. I didn't set up my church to be broken up in fragments. We divided by denominational name. We can't even come together and fully come together in the doctrine and the word of God. None of that. You think Jesus set that up? No, he didn't. So he has to do what? A cleansing in his father's house. Remember what Peter said. Judgment is to begin where? First, where? At the household of God. Amen. See, we're looking totally to them sinners way. Oh, them sinners. And God do them sinners and them sinners. But guess what, people? He's sending his angelic being to do a work in his house. His house here on earth. His house got to have a work. That's why the sinners can't come in like a floodgate and get saved. Because guess what? Many times we acting like them. We operating under the sin nature and you name it. So God has to cleanse this stuff out. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Hallelujah. All of us shout out glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. The word of God says what? Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. Huh. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Do you hear that? Hallelujah. God, who God talked to? His own people. I have refined thee. And what the messenger said, what did Malachi said? That the messenger shall sit as a refiner and purifier of who? Silver. Once again, referring to who? God's people. Just like here in Isaiah. I have refined thee, but not with silver. Vice and not with silver, because he refined you like as silver is refined. Silver still symbolically dealing with the people. You get that? He said, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have chosen you. Hallelujah. In the furnace of affliction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. You carrying this word right here, I'm going to tell you. You carrying this message that you're not going to be liked by many. Who is the many? You talking about them sinners there, ain't your brother Nate? No, I'm talking about them church folks. Amen. Because you're going to really find out who's for Jesus and who not. Everybody that's saying, Lord, Lord, is not for true unity and being one fold. I'm telling you now, I don't care if they've been used by God to speak and make a building fall down. It don't make no difference. You're going to find the truthfulness. See, this process that the Lord is doing in these last days is going to bring out nothing. It's going to bring out but the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, Lord. You hear this? Amen. Because why? Remember, I read to you that the messenger says that he come that Christianity may be what? One fold. Oh, see, that's what, that, you know, it's sad, but that's what making a lot of Christians shake and shiver. that one-fold stuff. Oh, one-fold. Well, God don't mind. He just, we all his children. He don't mind. You think God is happy about all these folds we dealing with? Christianity is supposed to be one-fold, not no bunch of folds. Now, I know this kind of message that gets some people upset, and they might want to click me off. Guess what? I love you in the Lord anyhow. But this is the truth, people. And see, too many of us, we've been trying to keep away from the truth. We don't want to speak on that. So we telling people, say, well, you know, God is okay with how we are. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. That's lying. He's not. Amen. How many of y'all, for example, being a dad, a true loving dad? Let me put it that way. Get more specific. Because you got a lot of people called dad, but ain't true loving. How many of y'all can go around just as free and happy when your own family in your household, say you got two or three kids and all of them acting separated from one another? Would that bring you joy? Well, yeah, they can go out in the street and say, well, you know, we all so-and-so children. That's true. That's if they are under his household and come through him and he's really their father. But that father is not happy because he got a division. So what any true loving father going to do? Try to bring order in his house, unity in his house. And that's one of the purpose of sending his messenger, to bring unity among the household of faith here on earth. Because we're not in true unity. I don't care who said what, we ain't. I don't care if you're a big-time televangelist, come on TV, and you've been coming on for 20 or 30 years, it doesn't make no difference. If you say we are one fold, you are dead wrong. You're not. We're not. You got some of you among believers, they won't accept the word from others because what? You're not in my church. Amen. We're not members of the same church. Amen. Well, you can say amen, owe me, anyhow, you know, it's up to you. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. Glory be to God. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. And let's look at verse 9. Last verse in the 13th chapter of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look what the word of God said. Look what God said. And God said, I will bring the third part through the fire. Talking about his people. And we'll do what, Lord? And we'll refine them as silver is refined. And we'll try them as gold is tried. Do you see that? Do you see that? Hallelujah. Talking about what? His own people. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I would say, it is my people. And they should say, the Lord is my God. You know what they're going to say? See, notice he said, and they should say, that's under one voice, one fold. One voice, one fold. That's going to say, the Lord is my God. I'm going to say, and they are my people. And he said, they're going to, and they're going to say, and the Lord is my God. That's one voice. They're going to be united as one voice, one fold. Amen. Hallelujah. But notice he said, I will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. Once again, let you know what Malachi was talking about. That this messenger shall sit as a refining purifier of silver. It is his job to take the people through a process where what? What's the purpose of the refining and the purifying? To remove the impurities, the dross. Okay? To remove that thing that is keeping us from being one fold. Amen. Yeah, I know. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. We want to fool the sinners. But that's who we got. That's who we, be honest with you, that's who we after fooling. We fooling the sinners like we all together. But whether you understand it or not, many of the sinners kind of see something ain't right. Because they're confused. They say, well, if I want to join a church, why do I got to choose? I mean, Why y'all got all these different names? And you know what? We can't answer it right. We should be able to answer. See, we don't go backing up in the history talking about, well, you know what happened? The church was overthrown. That's how we came so broken up. See, you know, you got the big-time televangelists. They won't talk about that. They won't even bring that up. And all we've been talking about now is any day we can be gone. That's what we've been saying. Well, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I sure wish there was a whole lot of truth. I really do. Now, some of you said, well, Brother Nate, the word do say that we're going to be caught up. It sure it does. But what has happened, we have taken that and we have put it in a timing that the word of God does not put it in. The word does not say, well, you're going to be caught up before the great tribulation. You won't have to go through the great tribulation. You won't have to see the Antichrist. You don't read that. And see, here we see it from Malachi that this messenger, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, has a job to refine and purify the people of God through what? Through the word, this word that he's bringing from heaven. This word that he's bringing from the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven is going to what? Refine and purify. He is to apply. He is to bring it and apply it to the people. And the people is to be refined and purified as silver and gold. What's the purpose? To remove the impurities, to remove the dross, to remove the sin. And see, when this word is received, it's going to cause all that stuff to come to the surface. So what? So it can be removed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got to be removed. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to Malachi. I told you you're going to be doing a little walking here. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Now, hallelujah. Now, he says in verse 3, and he, which is the messenger of the Lord, shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Okay, so let's talk about who are these sons of Levi. Okay? Who are these sons of Levi? Okay? Hallelujah. Let's look at who are these sons of Levi. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. We're going to look at two places on this. Deuteronomy chapter 24. And we're going to look at verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Verse. Hallelujah. And look what the word of God says. Look what he said to the children of Israel at the time. He said, take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Now, keep that in mind there as we go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4. Thank you, Lord. And the word said, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Abraham. Now, remember in the word of God, and I think that was in Exodus, remember when God told Moses, he said, is it not Aaron the Levite, thy brother? Now, he called Aaron the Levite, okay, a Levite. And here he said, no man take this honor to himself, but he that is called of God. Called to what? The ministry. Just like he said that we read in Deuteronomy 24, he said the priests, the Levites. Well, we know today that represents what? The ministry. So when Malachi said that he is to purify and purify the sons of Levi, He's not talking about the literal. He's talking about what? The ministry. Because the Levites represent the ministry. You know, even in the Old Testament, they was their call was to do the service of the Lord in the tabernacle. So that represents the ministry. And that's why he said, no man should take this call upon himself, but he that was called upon God, take his honor upon himself, rather. But he that was called of God, as was Aaron. He's talking about to the ministry. Okay? So the messenger has to prepare a ministry. Hallelujah. See, understand this. And this is where man gets it backwards. If you want to straighten up an organization, I've even seen this in the natural, in the secular world. And to some degree, they have done it right, and then some places haven't done it right. But if you want to get a total overall, a straighten up an organization, where do you start? You start at the top. You start at the top. You don't start at the bottom. You start at the top. Okay? Now, I've seen, well, let's say an organization call themselves making some changes, but they start with the people, you know, and trying to make changes on them. Well, if you got the same old, quote, kind of leadership that is involved in the troubles that you're seeing that is causing you to say, I got to make changes, why would you start with the people? Or build the people and then lead the same leadership. You got to start from the top. Because remember, you're working through your leadership to the people. Amen? So you have to start from the top. And that's what the Lord is doing among his kingdom here on earth. He's sending the Elijah, the messenger, to first all, the cleansing, the purification, the purging, the refining has to start at the top. With who? The ministry. Amen. Because why? Jesus is working through the ministry to the people. So you don't need him starting with the people first, you know, and have the same ministry that he worked through, man. I mean, good Lord. You have to start at the top. Now, there's some secular companies who can, you know, because Jesus is the first one that started this kind of concept. And then, like, man, sit there and think of himself. And so you got some secular companies doing the same thing. When they want to do a, quote, overall change in their company, they feel like so much stuff was happening, sent us in the wrong direction, causing us loss of profits and all that. And they say, hey, we need to go through an overall. Where are they going to start it? They start at the top. Doing what? Many times getting rid of supervisors and high up people, just getting rid of them and putting new people in their place. You understand what I'm saying? Then they work their way on down. You get that? But see, they know that they got to start from the top first because they don't need you starting with the people. Now, you got some places, they're backwards in that. They like to start with the people. Well, you're still going to have the same. If you got a bad leadership too, but you're going to call yourself straight to people, that ain't going to work because the bad leadership continue to send their what? Their corrupt orders. Even if you brought a new batch of people in, if you got the same corrupt kind of type leadership, well, they're going to give those corrupt orders to the new people you brought in, so you might as well start from the top. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's just like with these secular companies, too, that does start from the top. Here's another thing that I understand and notice about them. If they got, let's say, if there was a company that turned over a company to the sons, and the son start working, running the company, and they want to establish a new thing in that company, they're going to start at the head. And here's the thing they'll do with even older supervisors. If the older supervisors don't want to abide by that way and want to keep the old way and stuff like that, guess what they look to do? Get rid of them. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. They look to get them out the way. Get rid of them. Hallelujah. So I say all that to say this. The messenger is to purify and purge a ministry. That's what's involved in this turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's involved in that, to bring unity. And the way they're going to bring unity, he got to start, you know, in purging the head first. Then work to the people. That's why this process we read about in Malachi 3 It ain't just the ministry. It's everybody, because he said, well, who may abide the day of his coming? That referred to what? That referred to all, from the ministry down to the pews. All got to go through this refining and purification process. Everybody. Let me read to you a verse from one of the messages that the Lord Jesus sent through his angelic being, and it's called the 88th message. Hallelujah. The 88th message. And this message here was sent out November the 16th, 1968. Now let me read to you what he said in one of the verses here. And the angel of the Lord said, I am he that the prophet Daniel spoke of as the Ancient of Days. I am the proclaimer, the warner. I am he that the people of the Lord delighteth in my coming and the words I bring, the messenger of the covenant. Now get this. He said, I sit as a refiner and purifier of mankind. Then he said, of the ministry of God. Do you hear that? Cleansing out the traditions of men and the power of the adversary. Do you hear that? He cleansing out the sin. He cleansing out the tradition of men. He cleansing out the power of the adversary out of the people. He's a refiner, purifier of mankind. Okay? That's men, women, you know. That's the ministry down to the pews. Amen. But he's got to start somewhere, and he's going to start at the head. Hallelujah. See, they're just like in the home. If God wants to get a godly home that's all out of order, get them in line. I'm talking about husband, wife, and children. Where you think he's going to start? He's going to start at the husband, at the head. Because remember, in the book of Corinthians, what did he tell you about? The husband, the man, is the head of the wife, and Christ is head of them both. That's the order. So ain't no need of him trying to, quote, get a house straight by dealing with the children first, per se. He got to start at the head. So he's going to start with the husband or the daddy and work to the mama and on down to the kids. You get that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we have let society plant a seed in us, and I'm talking about us, many of us believers, that tells us that the children run the house. It's all about what little Johnny wants. Little Johnny, he wants to stay out all night, and he's 14 years old. He wants to stay out all night with his friends and buddies, and we let society say, hey, we need to appeal to Johnny's feelings and let Johnny just stay out, because that'll make you a better parent and that'll improve your relationship. Well, you keep on listening to that stuff if you want to, and what's going to happen is you're going to find Johnny is going to be causing the blue lights be coming up in your yard many times. And if you're not careful, Johnny may end up behind bars. Amen. But we have let society tell us that, hey, you know, they rule the house. You know, it's all about them. Hallelujah. Glory to Boshanta. Hey, glory. Let's go back again to Malachi chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Going back to Malachi chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, here's another thing interesting. Verse 3 says, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Now, Malachi is telling us that there's an offering that has to be offered, and that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, wants this offering offered in righteousness. But it can't be offered in righteousness, neither can the offering be pleasant unto the Lord until after this purification and refining process. Now, I'm just taking a pause for a minute to let that sink in. You're reading it for yourself. There's an offer or an offering that Malachi is telling us here that this messenger must do or must take the people through, that the people must do. But in order for the people to do it, it has to be when this refining and purification process is completed. Because we notice that he said in there, he shall purge and purify the sons of Levi, gold, silver, that they may offer unto the Lord the offering of in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. Then it's a word of war. Okay? So after this purifying, purging, and refining process is done, then the offering that can be offered will be pleasant. Okay? Unto the Lord. Malachi said, as in the days of old, and as in former years. Now, they're talking about this offering for a minute. Because he says here, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant as in the days of old and as in former years. So he said as in the days of old and as in former years, he's taking us back, especially going on into the Old Testament. Now, when we look at this offering, one of the things we know about this offering that it couldn't mean the offering of animals. Now, just taking a break for it and let that sink in. Because some of us, we would look at the word offering here and look at where he said, well, as in the days of old and as in former years, and we automatically think about what? The sacrifice of the bulls and goats. Well, we know it doesn't mean that. Well, you said, well, how do we know that offering does not mean the offering or sacrifice of animals? Well, the first reason why we know it don't mean that, because the word offering here, the original Hebrew word for the word offering here is minkah. And minkah has different meanings, but I want you to hear one of the things it means that lets you know that this is not referring to a animal sacrifice, this offering. Minkah means a sacrificial offering, get this, usually bloodless and voluntary. I'm going to read that again, because this is our first proof that this offering is not the offering of a sacrifice of animals. The word minkah, that's translated offering, means a sacrificial offering, usually bloodless and voluntary. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, that's the first reason we know that this offering doesn't represent the offering of animals. The second reason we know, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 6. Here's our second reason we know that this offering in Malachi 3, that he's talking about, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. And we come to understand that this offering is not animal sacrifices. Because even though you see it said, as in the days of old and as in the former years, okay, and when we hear offering, especially from the Old Testament way, many of us do automatically think of the blood of bulls and animals and goats, okay? But first of all, we know that it doesn't mean that because of the meaning, original Hebrew word. The second reason is here, Hebrews 10 and 6. It says, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, God, our Lord, our God, he did not have pleasure. Hallelujah. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin. In the sacrifice in the blood of bulls and goats. Why? Because it couldn't save. Only thing it did was cover. And that was one of the things that God used as a teaching mechanism. So that's the second reason why we know that this offering that Malachi is talking about, it's not the offering or sacrifice of animals. The third thing, let's look at Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 6. The book of Micah, chapter 6. The book of Micah, chapter 6. Looking at verse 7. The book of Micah, chapter 6, looking at verse 7. Now look what the word of God says. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So notice he said that in verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Or shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? See, God, he was showing you here, God doesn't take pleasure in the sacrifice of animals or the shedding of blood, even the offering of the sacrifice, as he said, of his firstborn. God doesn't take pleasure in that. So we know that this offering is not an animal offering, the shedding of blood. It's not a people offering, okay? When you're offering up your firstborn, there is no shedding of blood in this offering. So when the offering that Malachi is talking about, that's why in the definition or the original Hebrew word there, it means bloodless. Bloodless, whether it's of animal, and we see here also whether it is a man. So there was no shedding of blood of man or dealing with man or animal when Malachi is talking about then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem shall be pleasant unto the Lord. So we come to understand it's not no offering of blood of animals, and especially not of man. There is no blood sacrifice. It is a bloodless sacrifice, okay? It is a bloodless offering. What can we look at this offering to be dealing with? Well, hallelujah. When you look at Malachi, and let's go back to there. When you look at Malachi 3, verse 3, the word offer in verse 3, when he said, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Okay. Now, I look up that word offer to see what was the original Hebrew word there for offer. And the original Hebrew word there for word offer is nagash. And nagash have different meanings, but one of them really stuck out to me. And it means religion, or in other words, to worship. To worship. Hallelujah. Hukalabashata, glory. To worship. So the worship, hallelujah, the worship, this purging and cleansing is to bring forth a worship in righteousness. Remember in chapter 4 of Malachi, he said that the Elijah is to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. What's the center thing in that? The heart. And I gave you back in the other series what the heart represents. And it told you the original Hebrew word is dealing with not only the, the soul, the mind, the intellect, but it also dealing with the very center of the thing, which is what? The spirit of man. And what did the Lord say? What did he say in John chapter 4? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him what? In spirit and in truth. Do you hear that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what the Lord said in his word. Hallelujah. Matthew 15, he said, what? But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. He said, what? He said they worship him in vain. Amen. Because the verse before that, what he said? He said, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from me. That's why Elijah come to turn their hearts. He's coming to deal with the hearts. Okay? Amen. We need a cleansing, especially in our spirit, things that gotten in our heart, that our worship has not been full and right to God, not to the fullest degree. And you got people think, well, I'm all right, I worship the Lord. Yeah, but we can do better. We ain't there yet. Oh, we doing a little here and there, but we ain't there yet, people. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 10. Glory to God. Look at what Moses told the people. And now behold, this is Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 10. He said, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. Yeah, the people were told to what? To worship. The people was told to do that, to worship. That's why Judah and Jerusalem is not just dealing with the literal Judah and Jerusalem, but remember the people of God, who is known as the spiritual Judah and Jerusalem. Okay? Just like the fathers and the children. Fathers also dealing with the house of Israel, where it ain't just the literal house, but the spiritual house of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. He told the people to what? To worship. See, when it came to the sacrifice of the blood and bulls and animals, only the high priest could do it for the people. The people couldn't do it. But see, here, the people is told to worship. You get that? See, when it came to the sacrifice of the blood and bulls and animals, the people couldn't do that, only the high priest. But here, Moses told the people to do something that all of them could do. Was what? Worship. And see, that's what God is bringing forth, the purity of the worship. Amen. Worship him and in truth. Glory to God. Spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Psalms 119, 119th chapter, 108 verse. 119th chapter, 108 verse. That which will be pleasing unto the Lord. He said, except I beseech thee the free will of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. What's the free will of my mouth? What's involved in the free will in your mouth? Your worship. Amen. But see, once again, God ain't trying to get any kind of words out because, see, that's what people are doing today. They're just doing any kind of work. See, God is getting the pure worship out. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at one more scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. The word of God says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, most of y'all say, well, that word praise, listen, praise is a form of worship. There is a difference between worship and praise. But our praise is to be attached to our worship. And notice he said, offer a sacrifice of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You have, for years, people in the body of Christ debating about worship and praise. It had been a topic of debate. Praise not worship, worship not praise, not that. Is there a difference? Yeah, there's a difference. But praise is a form of worship. They ought to be done together. See, our problem is in the body of Christ, we've been separated. Let's be honest. For example, a lot of our white brothers and sisters, you know, they do what is called worship, okay? More of a calm, quiet thing. And most of the black brothers and sisters in Christ, we know what? Praise. And so what has happened, because to be honest with you, it had become a difference in dealing with race. And it shouldn't have been like that. So you have many of the white brothers and sisters who's looking at the black brothers and sisters as they praise, lift up their voice and shout, and looking at them like thinking they're crazy. They're uncontrollable and all that. That's true. What I said, that's true to many of their thinking. It's not true. Now, we praise God because the word of God says, lift up your voice and shout. But then on the other end, to be honest with you, got some of us as brothers and sisters. Look at our white brothers and sisters who normally worship and being in a calm way and doing it. We looking at them like, it's something wrong with you. See, it's all about executing both of them. There's a time where you get into the place of worship where you more of a quiet type of ways per se. You're opening your mouth, but then there's a time where you have to lift up your voice and shout. You got to understand in the scriptures, both of them was executed. But see, we are spending our time in the body of Christ fussing and arguing and stuff about, it's wrong for you to lift up your voice and others like, it's wrong for you to sit there quiet. Well, we supposed to be incorporating both of them. Okay. Hallelujah. We're told in the book of Peter to offer up what is spiritual sacrifice. But that's what that's in there, people. Amen. Hallelujah. And so far, we haven't come to that complete place of worship with the Lord like we should. We haven't come to that place yet. And this is what the Lord is doing through the sending of Elijah to bring man, bring his people to that place. Now, all they hear this word is going to do it. And guess what? This is going to be a worship and praise as one, one-fold. Once again, this ain't that separate stuff. We need, you know, Jesus told us in John that there will be one fold and one shepherd. There will be one fold. Them I also must bring, there will be one fold. Jesus said it, OK? okay? Amen. Hallelujah. So glory be to God. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord today, for this opportunity. This is going to end this part of the series here. Lord, say the same. I'll be back Tuesday. Look for the advertisement then. Let us pray. Once again, Lord, we thank you for this day. You truly indeed have blessed us, Lord God. And Lord, we just give you glory and honor and magnify you. And so, God, I thank you, Lord God, for such opportunity as this that you've given. And Lord God, in Jesus' name, thank you for blessing all those that have been listening to the broadcast and tune in. So, Lord God, may you continue to bless them. May you keep them and reveal to them as they seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. So we thank God for all you who are listening. Don't forget, the Lord say the same. I will be back on Tuesday. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.